comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Hi, folks, and welcome to the Kevin Smith Show, whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this beautiful place we call Earth. Thank you for being here at the Kevin Smith Show. I'm delighted to be here. I think you will be delighted to be here as well. We are here because you have a right to know and because you matter. Well, we're almost completely moved into our new members community here at the Kevin Smith Show. It's big stuff, I'm telling you. And, you know, I've done several weeks of work on this to get us where we could move into it. And so I'm pretty excited about it. But I'm getting emails from members who have been over and taken a look around in the new members community. They're pretty excited about it as well. Members, let me remind you to be sure to check your message box in the current members area, the old members area, the one we've had forever. Okay, check your message box for the message that I sent you today. It contains very important information that you need, and you can't check it tomorrow. You know why you can't check it tomorrow? Because after the show tonight, that members area, that old one, disappears, and the new one is where, that's our home now. Okay? Now, I know I'll get some email from a few folks who say, well, I didn't hear you say that until it was too late because I listened to the show the next day because of the time difference and so forth. And I'm sorry about that, but I've sent 9 messages now to your message box telling you that we're moving, and so there comes a point where we just have to do it, and that's tonight after the show, okay? However, some people are in the new members community right now watching the show, and that's good. They're enjoying the new digs, and I know they got to be pretty excited about what they see there. Well, ladies and gentlemen, our members community is absolutely full of stuff. I mean, it's full of great stuff. You can watch the show live there every night. You can catch the show for the next 24 hours. After we do this show, the next 24 hours, it's up there where you can watch it. So if you did miss it, you'll be able to see it. All of our archives are in the members community. We have chat. We have forums, fantastic forums. You ought to see it. And you've got your own photo gallery, your own video gallery where you can upload your video clips and share with your friends. We have that feature where you can send friend requests and accept friend requests or reject them. Private messaging, all kinds of stuff. Special broadcasts, and we've got one of those coming up. We have a seminar coming up that'll be just in the members community. And no extra charge. It's there because you support the show. That's coming up within the next couple of weeks. So it's really great. And it's only $7.50 per month, $7.50 per month. That's 25 cents a day. Way, way back when I was in elementary school, lunch was 27 cents a day. 27 cents. And the value of money has dropped drastically since then, and we're still only charging 25 cents a day. Do you have any idea how underpriced this is? Come on. Join the members community. You'll enjoy it. We'll be back right after this. All right, welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Tonight is another in our series that we've been doing called Real People. Now, for those of you who are new, you're listening tonight for the first time, or maybe it's not your first time, but you're fairly recent, and you've missed some of the shows, so you haven't heard about Real People. What this is, I have a suggestion box on my website. You just click contact, and then you click suggestion. And you send me your suggestion for a guest, your suggestion for a topic, or your suggestion for me to look at a link. You know, if you have a link you want me to look at. Sometimes people send that to listener comment. They don't understand. Those get culled out. It's not a listener comment. I never get to see it. It's rare if I get to see it. Those get culled out by one of our volunteers. If you want me to see it, put it in the suggestion box, okay? And that'll guarantee I see it. And I guarantee you I look at all of them. And so I got a suggestion from one of our listeners suggesting that, well, you know, the callers, people who in the audience who call into the show, all seem to have some very interesting things to say. And many of them have had very interesting experiences in their lives. And I think the suggestion said, I think it would be a very interesting show to have some of the callers share their experiences. Well, I thought that was a good idea, but as I started looking into doing it, I discovered that folks have far more to say than you can possibly squeeze into one show. In other words, if I had five different people, you couldn't possibly squeeze enough of their story into one show because it's a lifelong experience. And so what we've done is we've started this series called Real People, and that the point is this. You know, there are a lot of big guns out there. You know, they're authors and they're filmmakers, and they write books having to do with things in the UFO community. Things have, you know, books and DVDs and so forth, and seminars that have to do with things that people have experienced, having to do with UFOs and extraterrestrials, etc. Well, that's good. They go out and talk to the people who have experienced these things, and then they share them with us in their book or in their film. So real people are the ammunition the big guns shoot. And our series, Real People, well, we're dealing with the ammunition that goes into the big guns' books and DVDs. And we're talking to people themselves about what they have experienced, what they have encountered in the world of the strange and unexplained. My guest tonight is someone whom you have heard call the show on several occasions, many occasions, as a matter of fact, Leanne Whiteman. Did I say your last name correctly?
Yes, you did.
Okay, now Leanne, you have been listening to this show apparently for quite some time. You, as a matter of fact, in what was it, 2007, 2008, somewhere along there, maybe it was 2006, I can't remember, we had a little contest and you won, and Jerry Wills had donated to us a tapestry that had been handmade in South America. And you won it.
Sure did.
Well, that's a good thing. As a matter of fact, there's a picture of you with that tapestry. I've seen it. One of the shows that we did, by the way, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
One of the shows that we did not too long ago, I don't know, maybe 3-4 months ago, we did a show with a lady by the name of Janet. Janet talked with us about having been, for all of her life, subjected to being abducted by extraterrestrials, and on several occasions artificially impregnated by them, and then the fetuses were taken from her once they reached a certain stage. And you called into that show, I remember. And I want to talk about that a little bit tonight, but I want people to really sort of get to know you a little bit. You've been having experiences, encounters with extraterrestrials since the age of 3. Is that right?
That's right.
All right, let's go back to when you were 3 years old. Let's share with the audience the first encounter you remember with extraterrestrials.
The first face-to-face encounter was about 3 years old. It was in the middle of the night, and I woke up. Obviously, everybody else was asleep. I lived in the country, so country is dark.
Yeah.
Real dark. Lights out. There is no street lights. And I walked out into the kitchen, and I really don't know why, and saw a light outside the kitchen window, went out the front door, and there was a garage and a big cherry tree out there, and the whole thing was lit up. And I couldn't see a light source. It was just all lit up. And a being started coming from the field. There's a big cornfield behind our house, and from that direction, a being was walking up, and it was huge. But that was only 3, so I guess I couldn't say how big it really was because everybody was huge. But when I began to back off, it changed form and turned into, sounds crazy, but it turned into kind of a moose-looking being and just talked to me and said, don't be afraid, and just introduced himself and said that they would be visiting me from now on through my life, and they would be there and teaching me, and they did.
What does it,
yeah, it
now when you first
bad.
Saw this
time, there was no fear to it.
When you first saw this being, was it shaped like a human?
At first, he was so tall I couldn't see all the way to the head. It looked like it had some sort of uniform on, but I couldn't say whether it was human gray or what because it was so towering. It's like I'm standing below the knees, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was huge, and it realized it was very overwhelming to me. But it seemed really gentle after that. There was no fear to that experience after that.
Did you see any kind of a spacecraft?
During that time, especially after that, as I grew older and we noticed more, our whole family, including the neighbors and stuff, would see lights and ships of some sort, and we, you know, and then there was also helicopters that would come in after. And I remember one time the neighbor, which is about a half a mile down the road, this is farm country,
uh-huh.
spread out,
mm-hmm.
and there was helicopters and everything out there, and the neighbor had come over to Dad. He was all upset because out in the field where we had watched the evening before, something land out there and couldn't figure out what it was, and then heard some skirmishes in the woods just past it, and he said that there was damage to his crop out there. And Dad and I walked out there after everybody left to inspect it, and sure enough, it was this big circular everything, all the corn, it was corn. Those stalks of corn were really tall back then. Those get, you know, good mm-hmm. 9 feet tall in Michigan. And they were all laid down, some of them scorched, but they were laid down. And that incident kind of thing happened several times.
So it was a crop circle.
Yeah, well, at the time we never heard of crop circles.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. But now when you were 3 years old and you saw this being coming towards you, at that time did you see any kind of a craft?
Well, yeah, we had always seen stuff happening out there in the woods and stuff, but I was so young, you know, I didn't really think about too much. You know, Dad, it's okay, and go back to bed.
Mm-hmm. So you don't remember seeing a craft then?
Not that night.
Mm-hmm.
Not that night, because differentiating the time between the different times, we've seen them quite often when I was growing up, so I can't remember if it was before or after that incident that I saw any. But there was one time I remember real well, and it was still before I started school. that I woke up and I had seen, and now I wouldn't really recognize it as being a little alien, kind of a gray-looking sort, looking in the window of our bedroom, and our bedroom window was a good 8 feet off the ground. And having something look in there, even just a normal person couldn't look in that window.
Mm-hmm.
And this is about 3-4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm screaming for daddy, you know. And he came in, oh, it's just the cherry tree, or it's just this, that, and the other. And then he looked up, and I saw his whole expression changed. And I know he saw it, too. And we had looked out the window that night, and then we did see the lights out in the field that night.
Now,
the next day we went out and checked that in the field.
This has continued, these contacts have continued throughout most of your life. Why? Why do you think they decided to pick on you?
I've asked it all my life.
Mm-hmm.
And I've wondered, too, if there's any family, you know, if anything my family knew about it. And I have questions about that, too. There's been some strange things that happened to other people in my cousins and my uncles and aunts and stuff, but nobody ever would talk about it.
Are you, what are you, you're part German, part Native American, are you?
Yeah, about a quarter Native American, Indian, you know, and then there's German, and there's French, and there's Irish, and who knows what else.
You're all mixed up.
All mixed up.
All mixed up. Okay. The Native American feature always, I know you listen to the show, so you know I'm always interested in that. And look, the reason I'm interested is there does seem to be some correlation between being Native American and having these encounters with UFOs. Not to say other people don't. They do, but there's a very high percentage of people who are Native American or Native American and Irish, very high percentage, that seem to have these encounters with extraterrestrials. The Native American part of your background, was that emphasized when you were growing up? Were you keyed in on that or not?
No. The question hit me later on when I realized that, too, and I did dig into how much Indian we had. My mother her father was Indian, and I couldn't even tell you which tribe. All I know is there was from the Huron area in Michigan, and he was pure Indian, and her mother was Irish. But when she went to school, they was on that tail end of taking all the Indians. If they had Indian in, they were taken away from them and shipped off to these schools.
Yeah.
And also on my father's side, his mother was the same way, and no one would even admit they were Indian. And when she'd go to school and stuff, she'd tell everybody she was Italian. she never would talk about it. And her father died when she was only 4, and so it was really pushed in her head not to talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's a mystery. I don't purport to have any kind of an answer, nor even a theory, as to why there seems to be such a high percentage of contactees, abductees, being Native American or Native American and Irish. No idea whatsoever, but that's why I ask about it all the time, because I hope to find an answer sometime. Now, after that time when you were 3 years old, when was the next time you remember having contact with these beings?
Well, the very next time was, I guess it was about 5, 6, that during one of the times being taken, I actually woke up, and I wasn't supposed to at that time, but I had woke up in time to see them bring back my older sister and put her back into the bed, and then watch my other sister, she's only about a year older than me, almost exactly, and watched her go out in front of me, and they took both of us at the same time. And what's odd is the oddest thing to remember, I have so many spots missing, and it's always such a spotty memory, But one thing I never forgot is laying there and not talking verbally, you know, out loud. But I could hear everything they were saying, even though it wasn't out loud, and they'd heard what I was saying.
You're talking about the aliens?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What did they look like?
Well, I guess in the moonlight, they looked more like a blue-gray.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the big eyes and, you know, the typical description you get now. Of course, at the time, I never heard of it being typical.
Uh-huh.
But it was, what was ironic is the things they said, kind of what I remember is because it's so odd, is that they were having trouble with Anita because Anita fought with them all the time. And Julie would do nothing but stop crying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And with me, it's just they told me to do something, and I just did it. Okay, do this, okay, and I just did it. I didn't, you know, I smiled them. It was like a routine to me. It didn't frighten me like it seemed to my sisters.
Will your sisters talk about this now?
I like this one. She's so easy to work with.
Mm-hmm. Will your sisters talk about this with you now?
I have never talked to my mom or my oldest sister, and my dad only hinted around to some of it, but he would never say it outright either.
Mm-hmm.
My other sister, who came up here in the last couple of years, I sat down and we tried to have a talk, and she went and said, I don't remember anything like that. And I said, and then when I just said, okay, do you remember this and this? And she goes, oh yeah. And then she started telling me some things that's happened to her that she just totally had forgotten about.
Why do you think people forget about it?
Well, because they're so convinced that it was a dream. It had to be a dream. After it gets to a certain point, I guess it's like people, my son was able to see ghosts and hear ghosts when he was little. And then after a certain point, with everybody telling him it was his imagination, I would watch him close his eyes and I don't really see it. It's just, I'm just imagining it, or I just dreamed it. And pretty soon, you don't allow yourself to, and even if you get a glimpse of it, you just say, nope, it's just my imagination, turn away from it.
Mm-hmm.
And I spent most of my time trying to tell myself it was just a kid's imagination, you know?
Well, there are a lot of people who are listening to us who fall right into that category. Things are happening to them, maybe not necessarily bad things, but, you know, things are happening that are very strange. They're having encounters, and they're trying to convince themselves it didn't happen. Of course, when you try to convince yourself that something that did happen did not happen, you can drive yourself crazy that way. All right, we are going to step away for a break, and we'll be back with Leanne Whiteman right after this.
And you're listening to the Kevin Smith Show.
Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, and tonight is the fourth in our series, Real People, and we're talking this evening with Leanne Whiteman. Leanne, as we went to break, I was saying that, you know, if something happens to you and it's very real, and then you set about trying to force your mind into believing it wasn't real, it really can cause you some real psychological problems over the long haul, because what is just is, whether it makes sense or doesn't make sense. If it's real, it's just real. You said your dad saw this creature. Did he ever discuss that with you?
No.
No.
He was too busy trying to tell me it was, you know, wasn't real. It was just dreaming. I was just dreaming. But uh-huh. And after he saw it, he just kind of dropped it really quick. But he did let me go sleep with him.
Okay.
And there, you know, it's really sad, too, is because there was so much physical evidence that was just ignored. Even, you know, even after I grew up with the pregnancies and stuff, there was so much physical evidence that was just totally brushed aside and ignored.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so, how you say, invalidating. You know, when I was little, you know, around three, five years old, up till just before puberty, I guess, I had mostly the voices and occasionally visits. I used to be able to go flying. And that was validated to me later on when I could actually, when we finally got a TV and they did, you know, in helicopters over tops of buildings and stuff,
mm-hmm.
that I had seen before when I'd never flew before,
mm-hmm.
as far as in a plane.
But so what, also, were you flying in their craft?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it just seemed out of body, too. Sometimes it's just like free-floating.
Mm-hmm.
There was times that I would have, I guess you'd call them classes or whatever, teaching sessions or whatever. I remember laying out on the grass, and because I always did like the plants and all that kind of stuff, but they were showing me, told me to look really close at a blade of grass, and is it closer, closer, until I could see the cells in the grass stem. And they said, now look at your hand, you see the cells on your hand. And yeah, and it's a, see, you're more alike than you think. Everything is connected. And what you'd perceive as God is the glue that holds it all together, the
mm-hmm.
energy. And I was under 5 when that happened.
That's pretty heavy for somebody that young, isn't it?
Yeah, but it made sense. You know, and it's always since then, always, that's why everything I was taught in school and everybody else talked about was just like, no, that just don't seem right. That's just not right.
All right. Now, you had these sessions. You said it was kind of like school. And then later, now you've mentioned it a couple of times, there were pregnancies. As a result of, I guess, hybridization program. And we'll talk about that. But leading up to that first pregnancy, did they ever tell you anything that sort of prepared you for this is coming, this is what's going to happen?
No. No, actually, you know, the stuff that happened before, like I said, to go on, go on these rides and stuff with the ship, and I would get actual... you could always tell when it's happened was real because my hands, and I never heard into this anybody else. I'd like it if anybody tell me if they've ever experienced this, where my hands would, the skin would just peel.
Uh-huh.
Like they were in some kind of chemicals in my hands and the bottom of my feet.
Mm-hmm.
And it would get so bad that it'd peel right down to where they'd bleed. And Mom took me to the doctor and everything, and he says, like you stuck your hand on something radioactive or something.
Mm-hmm.
I'm from the country. We didn't have stuff like that. And it always correlated with those experiences. But when I hit puberty, it just seemed like everything changed. And the way I felt when it did was totally betrayed.
Uh-huh. Well, let's talk about that. When was the first time that you came back from one of these experiences, one of these encounters with the extraterrestrials, and discovered you were pregnant?
16.
Okay, and did your parents know that you were pregnant?
No. By that time, I was already married.
Mm-hmm.
And I had moved down to Florida. And
at 16, you were married?
Yep.
That's pretty young.
1 month into, I turned 16 in September, was married in October.
Wow.
Yeah. Crazy, huh?
No, not crazy. But you got to admit, it's not the age when most people are getting married.
No, I look at 16-year-olds, and now they're just little bitty kids.
All right, now, you're 16 years old. You discovered you were pregnant. And you're married, so what made you think this pregnancy was a result of the aliens? I mean, were you awake when they did whatever they did?
No. I was taken and I had missing time. But at the time, because the man I married, I don't want to say his name or not, but I was putting him through college. I was working at Sambo's restaurant.
Okay.
And he was actually going what they called co-oping, where he'd work for 6 months and then he'd go to school 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So he was up in Jacksonville and I was still down in Gainesville.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, he wasn't around.
Okay. And so tell us what happened. You discovered you were pregnant. What did you think? I mean, what went through your mind at that point?
Well, you know, at the time I was kind of happy I was pregnant. I couldn't figure out how or why, but then, you know, it's like I just accepted it and I was happy about it, actually.
Mm-hmm.
I'd always wanted children. And it wasn't, you know, sooner than I expected, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But I was happy about it until they took it.
All right. Were you aware and awake when they took the fetus?
No, not that time. I've had ones after that happened a couple times. I became really diligent about all my cycles. I knew when I ovulated. I knew when cycles were beginning and ending, and I kept really tight track of it because it was hard to face it.
Uh huh.
You know.
Okay. But that time, you just woke up one day and you weren't pregnant.
Yes, I woke up and knew I wasn't pregnant. I had one of those weird experiences where a sudden, it's kind of weird. A lot of times it was just the sudden have to sleep, you know, where I'm normally very energetic or whatever, and just mm-hmm. all of a sudden I wouldn't even bother changing my uniform or anything, just bam, I was out.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'd wake up in a totally different area of the house, sometimes outside,
mm-hmm.
and not remember anything.
Okay, but now this first pregnancy, you woke up and you just knew.
Yeah, I just felt it. I just knew I wasn't pregnant anymore.
Mm-hmm. And you said you felt betrayed.
Yeah, I that's where I couldn't understand where the experiences changed. You'd think it would be from just one, I just thought it had to be from these one culture or dimension or whatever it was that was teaching me when I was little, and I felt abandoned and all of a sudden turned over to these cult people.
Oh, so this is not the same group?
Pardon?
This is not the same group of extraterrestrials.
Yeah, but I didn't realize that, you know.
They look the same?
A while to figure that one out.
Did they look the same?
No, there was different groups, but even with the younger experiences, it was a lot of... It wasn't always the same. It was like that one time the Grays came and they weren't mean to me and it was still a pleasant experience, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And but then when I hit puberty, it was like a totally different group.
Mm-hmm.
And then it wasn't until later on until, it was about 21. And that one was where I remembered more than any other time because I remember... I was by myself, and my husband was off in New Orleans after a hurricane cleanup, and he was gone for about 6 months almost. And I had found out I was pregnant, and I was at that point almost 3 months pregnant. And at night, there was I was woke up with everything vibrating, walked out the door, and up in the sky I saw, it looked like a purplish light underneath this big craft, but the light was so bright I couldn't see it, and my automatic feeling was to run back in the house. I panicked, but I was already taken. By the time my hand reached the doorknob, I was already taken. And the next thing I remember was waking up, you know, spotting, and it wasn't a heavy bleeding, like, mm-hmm. like a period or anything, or even a big miscarriage. It was just spotting and that feeling. I knew I wasn't pregnant, and I went and had retested again, and sure enough it tested negative. And then when I went back again, the period, it was only just a few spotting, so I called in and I said, oh, don't worry about it, that's normal. But I knew. And as time went on, I went back in, and I wound up having to go into a they call it emergency care center at the time, because I was visiting my mom and dad in Texas, and the doctor pulled me in, and he says, you're not pregnant. What makes you think you're pregnant? Because the test came out all negative. And I told him, I showed him the proof. Yeah, see, I was tested, and this is, I was pregnant, and all this. And he did an ultrasound and, you know, a full exam, and he just came out, and he just said, okay, you need to get dressed and meet me in the office, and went out and asked my dad to come in to the office with me. He wouldn't talk to me straight alone. And I'll never never forget the expression on this doctor's face when he looked at me. He said, I don't understand this. I've never seen anything like it before. You have all the symptoms of pregnancy. You're swollen. You have, you know, everything is there, but there's no baby. And I've never seen anything like it. And sure enough, I had to go have they did a DNC on me, and they found the placenta and all, you know, all the normal stuff a pregnancy would be that would just wasn't there anymore.
Wow. What did your dad have to say about all that?
Looking back at it now, it was poor dad, because I fell apart. And he really didn't know what to say. He just held me, you know. He just held me and just kept trying to tell me, it'll be okay, it'll be okay. That's all he could say. What could he say?
Sounds like a good dad.
Yeah, he was a good dad.
How many times did you experience this where you were pregnant and then not?
Well, as far as where I had proof of that I had been pregnant and then I wasn't, where I'd be tested pregnant, positive was eight times.
Wow.
And I have two living births from it. I had one that miscarried, and then all the rest were missing.
Just missing?
Just missing.
Mm.
Yeah, you know, the part that always bothered me the most is, and actually learning more sometimes, it is better to be ignorant sometimes too, because then thinking of the military or what, all these other programs, and where are my babies? What's happened to them? What are they being used for? You know, were they used for parts? What? You know?
Wow, now that's heavy. All right, we have to step away for break. We'll pick up there when we come back, folks. Don't go away. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show, the fourth in our series, Real People. And Leah, actually, it's Leanne Whiteman. You hear her when she calls to the show from time to time, and she says, this is Leah from Tennessee. So this is Leah. Leah, have your sisters ever had these missing pregnancies?
No, just me.
Just you.
Yep.
Wow.
It's been the odd one.
Well, it's got to be something that has, over the years, I would think, it would have to be something that would really play on your mind is why? Why me?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, you know, why did my mother always resent me? I never understood that. And, yeah, why me and not my sisters?
Do you think maybe your sisters have had this happen and just won't talk about it?
No, it is kind of funny, but we are so different in that our whole build is totally different. My family is really short, you know, like between 4'9" and the tallest one is 4'10.5". And you know, me, I'm 5'4", and my mother wouldn't let me wear shoes in the house because she thought I was belittling her.
Okay. All right.
But the way I'm built is different in every way. Is taller, thinner, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And just made to have babies. You know, that's what the doctor told me. I was a fertile turtle.
Did you ever wake up while they were conducting a procedure on you, either implanting you with a child or taking the child? Have you ever caught them at it?
I remember several times being taken and coming out just a little bit, and it didn't last long. I would have this hand go over my forehead, like over my third eye, and it just automatically relaxed and go right back under.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm one of those. I'd probably be one of those people that is really easily hypnotized too.
Well, maybe. All right. Now, did they ever communicate with you? Did they ever say anything, or telepathically or otherwise?
It's more the soothing things, except for, you know, it was a lot different. There's other ones that seemed, like when I said they changed when I hit 16, and I couldn't figure out, because some of them would be more pleasant, and then I'd have these ones that were brutal and cold. And there was once of actually being, I know it's hard to believe, but actually being raped. And that was when I was 16, and I was a result of that pregnancy.
And this was an ET that did this?
Well, no, but it wasn't here.
Oh, now see, you got to tell us about that.
But it's so hard to say it loud because I know it sounds so crazy.
Nothing sounds crazy.
Well, if it sounds crazy to me, it's been hard for me to face.
Okay, so you were taken off planet to some other world?
No. Just out of my bed, out of my home.
Uh-huh.
And into just this very cold, sterile place. And really, it can't even say black. It would be more gray and cold. It was cold.
Mm-hmm.
And just having somebody thrown in with me, and what was really disturbing was being witnessed by, I would say, people and watching.
This person who raped you was human?
Yes. Well, it seemed human to me.
Okay, it looked human. Can you describe this person?
Not really well, because I close my eyes most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think he was that happy about it either. And it was him. He seemed almost apologetic. But
how was he dressed before he undressed?
He never saw him dressed.
Okay. What was his hair like?
It was a light color, blonde.
Long hair, short hair?
It was about down to the shoulders.
Okay.
Kind of thin, not real thick.
Mm-hmm. So, certainly not a military cut.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-mm. So I have seen military types. I uniforms.
Mm-hmm. Are they uniforms that you would recognize?
Not until later, until I saw it years later. I had divorced and remarried many years later, and he was in the Navy, and it wasn't until actually going watching those that I started looking at uniforms, and it wasn't like that. I realized it wasn't that. And so I started looking up uniforms, and it was Air Force.
Mm-hmm. You know, you're not the first person I've heard that from.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So it don't sound that crazy?
No, you're not crazy. I mean, look, I'm not a psychiatrist, but just because some kind of a weird thing happens to somebody, that doesn't mean they're crazy. You know, I used to be a cop, right?
Yeah.
Do you know crime is weird?
That's what I can't argue with that.
Yeah, crime is weird. It's where one human decides that some other human doesn't matter, and so they do something to them. Either they steal, or they beat them, or they shoot them, or it's weird. Well, the victim isn't weird just because this happened to them. You know, the perpetrator's weird. And so, you know, it's not weird of you if something has happened to you. It's if they truly were Air Force, and I don't know for sure, but if they were, it's really weird of them to be doing something like that. And criminal as well. All right, now you said there were people watching as you were being raped. What kind of people? Alien people? Earth people?
Well, the alien, there's the alien, and the military.
The military was there?
Yeah.
They didn't step in at all to help you?
No. No, actually, I think they were behind it.
I was illegally detained at the Bulgarian border one time. I was held for 4.5 hours illegally and verifiably illegally. And had some U.S. Army guys that came up to the border and wanted to cross, and I refused to move my vehicle. I identified myself as an American being illegally detained and wanted to know what they were going to do about it. And you know what they did about it?
Nothing.
They got in their trucks and turned around and left.
Yeah, that's what they did for me, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. True story. It actually happened. Have a witness to it. And it was kind of infuriating to me. But anyway, I bluffed and blustered my way out of that. They finally let me go. And I was being detained because I was in a rental car and because I had an American passport. Can you imagine?
That's the reason?
That's it. Yeah. They were claiming I stole it, and I said, well, then, you know, he said, and I could arrest you. I said, well, if I stole it and you don't arrest me, then you're not doing your job. You're a cop. But I said, here's the papers, you know. I can prove I didn't steal it. Well, he looked at the papers and then took me into custody anyway. So, we have to take a break. When we come back, we'll open up the telephone lines and allow you to speak with Leah. What a fantastic, amazing story. We'll be back. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. This is Kevin Smith, your host. Those of you joining us just now in this second hour, welcome aboard. I'm delighted you're here. My sincere sympathy to you for whatever it is that kept you from the first hour. I can guarantee you, an ironclad guarantee, you have missed entire universes of information. Believe me, you have. But we're delighted you're here now. My guest this evening, Leanne Whiteman. And this is the fourth in our series, Real People. We're talking with Leanne about the amazing and disturbing encounters that she has had with extraterrestrials. Didn't start off that way, but it turned that way. But maybe, Leanne, let me ask you to consider this. You said it seemed as if they turned you over to a whole different group. Now, what you're talking about, what you're describing, is what is We commonly refer to that as MILABs or MILABs. That's military abductions. A lot of people have encountered that. A lot of people. And I just want to ask you one quick question, and caller, if you'll just hang on for a moment. During the encounters that you had, did you, where the military guys were there, did you ever talk to them, or did they ever talk to you?
No. No. Later, later on, as I hope nobody in the Whiteman family is listening. I found I did recognize one face, and I kind of just kept telling myself, no, no, no. And what was odd about it is because he, when we had family reunions and stuff, he always gave me this really cold look all the time, the same look that I remember.
So he's a family member?
That place when that was happening.
He's a family member?
Yeah, he was my uncle.
Wow.
And he, guess where he worked?
Where?
He worked at NASA.
Uh-huh.
And he was a retired Air Force, and they took him out of retirement when NASA opened up. And it was something that I really was surprised at, because you'd seen everybody be proud of it, but nobody talked about it. He never would talk about what he did.
I guess if he was involved in what happened to you, I guess I know why he wouldn't talk about it. Let's go to the telephone. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Kevin, this is Jerome from Pennsylvania.
Hello, Jerome.
Hi. Thank you, Leah, for sharing your story. I really appreciate it.
Well, thank you.
You mentioned that you carried three births. Five of them were stolen, and two were live born, and one was aborted. Is that correct?
Yes.
The two that you carried, are they son and daughter? Or?
I have two sons.
Two sons. I imagine you must have been a nervous wreck when you were pregnant with them, and just wondering whether, you know, they were going to be taken from you.
Oh, you wouldn't believe how paranoid. I was so afraid they'd be taken. My oldest one, his feet never hit the floor until he's about three or four and could walk, and I had my second son, and both of them slept with me in my arms. I didn't move when I slept for until they were, about 5-6 years old and decided they wanted their own bed. And when they slept on me as babies, I had one on one shoulder, one on the other. I mowed the lawn. Everything I did was holding my son either in a front carry or a back carry. I was never let him out of sight. Never. Nobody ever babysat him. Nothing.
Are you still childbearing age or?
Nope, I'm past it now, and I don't get those kind of abductions no more.
That was going to be my next question. Have you ever? Do you still have encounters with these aliens?
Not as frequently, especially not being taken off, but in the last few years, there's still been some incidences yet where I really can't tell which group it is. And I'm not so much sure that I was turned over to this other group as much as taken over.
Mm-hmm.
Or even that the first group ever stopped, because there was some more pleasant experiences, even as far as being pregnant and stuff, where I was treated more delicately, and it was totally different. I just didn't realize there could be a possibility of two different groups or
how
more.
About your two sons? Is there any encounters with them?
There has been strange things happening. We found an implant in my youngest son's leg that you could actually take it and you could move it under his skin.
Mm-hmm.
And that stayed there for about 4 or 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
And my oldest one had the same type of thing, where he would wake up in strange places and freak himself out, even as an adult. And he wound up this black spot on his chest, of all places, that look like a chip or something. I don't know what it was, but it's still there.
Yeah. I was going to ask you about military involvement in your family. I was on hold just when Kevin asked you about that, and you mentioned about your uncle in NASA. And boy, that really, that, you know, with that, and it seems like this alien military connection, it almost seems like, you know, that he's definitely connected to this. And
that's the way I felt.
Yeah, I can understand it. And Kevin, I want to just commend you on being such a compassionate interviewer.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it.
I second that, too.
All right. Well, thank you. And, Jerome, thank you for the call.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. And we invite you to join us here in the studio. Now, you have a transporter device. It's called a telephone, all right? Wherever you may be, all around this planet, you can call that number and get here, okay? 623-444-5889. But if you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada, I do understand it can be expensive to make that international call. So we have for you something called a flash message if you want to use that. You just go to my website, scroll down, you'll see the picture about tonight's show. Right above that picture is a link that says flash message. If you're not in the USA and you're not in Canada. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hello, Kevin. It's Haya from Victoria.
Hello, Haya.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi, Haya.
Hey, listen, you know, after you were talking about your babies, it kind of brought some memory of mine up. When I was about 23 years old, I had got pregnant, and I had gone to see the doctor, and being an Rh negative mother, people were already concerned, and they took precautions for that, and the doctor looked at me, you know, just kind of, he says, oh, you'll be lucky, this is going to be a healthy baby. I mean, what, is this your third or what? I said, I've never had a baby in my entire life. He kind of looked at me very odd, and then I kind of dropped the subject, you know. But it brought up that subject. I was living in Australia at the time. And I had known people who worked at Pine Gap, which is a massive military...
That's scary.
Yeah. And it only, you know, when you were talking about what happening to you, it's like... Well, they probably didn't need me because I'm difficult to have any sort of babies. But no, it just kind of really threw me for a loop. And I always suspected with this type of abduction in the very first place that I believe that it is part military as well. I always have for some. And the same thing with cattle mutilations. I believe those both are part of the military. So when you were talking about what was happening, all the bells were going off at the same time.
Hiya, let me ask you a question. When the doctor said that to you about, you know, is this, what, your second or third, did you question him any or comment on that any?
Well, I was a little taken aback, to say the least.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of said no. And it was really taken back, but then, you know, and I just put it aside. He just kind of looked at me weird and shrugged, and we left it at that. Anyways, he had moved on. He was in a process of moving, and he had another doctor replace him, so I had the replacement doctor. And it was only after I had my son, which was a 3-day labor,
Man, that's some hard work.
And he was face up too, which was not easy. The minute they put him down, he walked. I'm looking at this newborn baby walking, and I'm saying,
"Oh my goodness!"
And then they put him down, and he was just, he was, from the very beginning, he's always been a little different, a little faster than most, very bright kid, just never fitted into everything, you know. And I sometimes wonder, but you see, the person I thought I was pregnant to passed away. And I only found out after the fact. And, you know, when you talk about having weird dreams as a child, I had nothing but weird dreams. I don't know if you heard me last time I was on, is that when I was six, up until then, I used to suffer greatly from major pain of earaches.
Yeah.
And I had this encounter. When you're describing your encounter for the first time at three, it's like, gee, that sounds a lot like me, because I was six, but we lived in the country on the lake shore, and it was a rural community. So, yeah. So I see some similarities. I'm really surprised.
It is funny, too, how certain things will trigger certain memories, too.
I know. Just when you were talking about the babies, that just kind of triggered a memory that just came out of the blue. I'm thinking, oh, my God. So I'm pretty sure I've got a lot of stuff put away, you know, that I haven't looked at, you know.
Well, do you think you're weird?
I beg your pardon?
Do you think you're weird?
Well, I'm very different than most. Number one, I think outside the box. I've always weirded at my parents because I have this... I've got this memory sometimes that's a little bit too accurate
uh-huh.
with comfort. Yeah, and...
Well, see, I don't think any of that's weird. I mean,
well,
most of the world has a herd instinct.
Just different things about me that I just don't necessarily talk about it because, you know, people find them very, very different.
Well, see, most
not
of the
in a bad way, of course, but you know, just mm-hmm. I think differently. I have a from the very time I can remember, I have a lot of difficulty understanding humanity. You know, I cannot understand that they could be so cruel to so many people. It just bugs me. I don't know where it mm-hmm. comes from. It's like all my life I've been like this.
Yeah,
well,
me too, actually.
See, most of the world has a herd instinct. Individuality is something that is frightening to them. And because they have a herd instinct, when they do come across somebody who is an individual and not part of the herd, they label that person as weird and never consider that that herd instinct is what's weird. That herd instinct is not normal or natural to our species. But most of them have it now.
I've noticed, you know, I look at the kids today and I'm thinking, oh, something's wrong here. No, I'm serious. I mean, I see some extremely bright children coming out and they're being pushed aside.
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of them are just like, I don't know, walking zombies. I'm wondering what's going on here with the children.
Yeah.
And it's not just the kids.
No, it's not. It's the kids, the parents. But that is, I think, planned. That's what the powers that be want. But they're losing their grip on it because a few more every day are breaking out of the herd and going back to being individuals, and that's good. That's very good.
You think it's because they're waking up, maybe?
I think it may be because they're waking up, yeah. Hiya, I want to thank you for the call.
Okay, thank you, and have a take care, Leanne.
Thank you.
All right. 623-444-5889. 623-444-5889. That's the number to call. You put those numbers into that little transport device you've got called a telephone. It will transport you right here to the KSS Starship. And you can talk with me. You can talk with Leah. And you know something? There are a lot of people listening right now who have had similar experiences. It's something that you have just put a lid on, and maybe you've been telling yourself for years, it didn't happen, it didn't happen, it didn't happen. But you know what? If it did, then it did. And it might be good for you to call and talk with Leah. 623-444-5889. did you ever attempt to talk with this uncle about where you had seen him previously?
No, he wouldn't talk to me. Even at family reunions, he wouldn't talk to me. He just glared at me from across the room. He never would talk to me.
Hmm. Do you think that whatever he was participating in there, do you think that was officially sanctioned, or do you think he was maybe part of some kind of rogue team doing stuff?
Well, at this point, I would, it's really just guessing that, I would guess that there's NASA with the nice, normal people doing the nice, normal thing, and just like our government, you know, you got a whole faction that's just totally different, all in the same place where one don't know what the other one's doing. And I think he was in one of those where he's there showing up and doing one job but actually doing something else.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're right. Within our government, there are nice, normal people doing nice, normal things. And then there are people that are exceptionally, exceedingly, indescribably, unambiguously evil.
Yeah.
And the things they do are so evil, they can get away with it because the rest of the world says, that couldn't be. It couldn't possibly be doing that. And they are.
Well, the look that somebody would get when experiencing, witnessing, and being a part of something like that, how could they have a cold, impassionate look, not an ounce of regret or sympathy or empathy or nothing, and even at family reunion seeing me later on or nothing, never a kind look at all.
Mm-hmm. Now, how is he related? He's an uncle, but how? Is he like your mom's brother, or?
It's my dad's oldest brother.
Uh-huh. Was your dad involved in the military ever?
No, he was quite a bit younger than the rest of them. He was the youngest in the family, and the war was pretty well over by the time he got old enough to go.
Uh-huh.
And so he never did. No, he was lucky.
Do you think your mom or dad ever had any encounters, any missing time, any experiences with UFOs or extraterrestrials?
Well, if they did, they wouldn't tell me about it.
Mm-hmm.
My dad was probably as far as, well, I guess a strange side effect that was always, I wondered about, was my mother would sleep with a shotgun when dad was gone.
Yeah, but you know, I'll tell you something. My mother is afraid of her own shadow. You can be looking right at her, having a conversation, and say, boo, and she'll jump. I mean, it's just, she's always been that way. I wouldn't think it would be absolutely necessary for a person to have had some encounters with extraterrestrials for them to think they need to sleep with a shotgun. I think some people are just really, really afraid.
Well, I can tell you honestly, I was a very paranoid person for many, many years. Very jumpy, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I became what you'd call a lone wolf after a while.
Why do you think you were so scared, so jumpy?
Is it because it was never knowing where it was coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And when it would happen, and I was a runner. I guess you'd call it a runner. That I was always trying to run away from it, thinking I could hide from it, that mm-hmm. it would stop.
All right, so let's talk about extraterrestrials in general, and based on your experience, we'll just ask you to, you know, your personal experiences, we'll just ask you to answer a couple of questions, what you think. And here's the first one. We have a lot of people out there who are saying extraterrestrials are all benevolent and everything is wonderful, and you know, they are not going to do us any harm. Would you agree with that or disagree?
Disagree. Without hesitation, I disagree.
Do you feel that what they did to you was a crime?
Yes.
All right, now, do you think that what was done to you was actually done by extraterrestrials or by these guys in uniform?
I think there was some of both.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were so different.
Now, the first group that you had dealings with from the age of 3 until 16 never said or did anything that indicated to you that they had any intentions of doing anything like this, right?
Right.
When you're 16, it suddenly changes. Now, from the age of 3 to 16, did you see military people?
No.
Well, guess what changed?
Yeah. Yeah, and that really didn't hit me till quite a few years later.
All right. Now, based on just your experiences with this, what is it, what do you think would be the purpose for these guys in uniform doing what they were doing?
Well, that's a question, isn't it?
Yeah, but what do you think it is?
Some of the stuff I hear makes me more afraid of, like I said, the a fear of using them just for body parts or, you know, something like that. But on the other hand, with the other ones that seem, they were more nurturing. They seem like they cared about the babies.
All right. What years are we talking about here?
Yeah, there's a lot of years and a lot of different experiences.
But what years are we talking about where you were having these encounters with the military guys?
It was the worst when I was married to the Navy guy.
What year was it?
Oh, gosh. I was about 26.
So what year would that have been?
Well, let's see. That would make it 86.
Okay. So from 1986 until when?
Until they completely stopped.
Mm-hmm.
The last pregnancy I had missing.
Yeah.
Was about, how long have I been here? About 10 years ago. Now my son, I would have a child only about 6 months younger than my grandson, and he just turned 13.
Okay, so 1998, 1998, 99, 2000.
About the last one.
Okay.
For that.
Well, some of those years cover when the Montauk Project was still in business. And the Montauk Project was absolutely monstrous. There are people who say it really never went out of business, just changed its name, moved its location, and it's trucking on. We have to truck on ourselves to a break, and we'll be back right after this.
Hot Arizona, but nothing's hotter than the Kevin Smith Show.
And the Hot Kevin Smith Show is in its, we've got the last 30 minutes here. We're talking with Leah from Tennessee. And Leah has been telling us some amazing encounters that she has had with extraterrestrials, as well as with what we normally refer to as my labs or mill labs, military abductions, where there are aliens present. I got a couple of questions about these mill labs. Maybe you can answer these. You did see people in uniform. Did you also at the same time see extraterrestrials?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Were there more military or extraterrestrials?
There was more military there at that time.
These extraterrestrials, what did they look like?
Stiff.
Stiff?
Stiff. Standing stiff.
Mm-hmm. But what did they look like?
Well, one looked like my uncle.
No, I'm talking about the extraterrestrials.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, they were the regular, the grays. They looked about 4 foot tall.
Uh-huh.
Real long, skinny arms and legs. There, some of the ones that I'd seen outside the windows and stuff were totally different. Because sometimes those ones were with the grays, but they also had ones that looked kind of brownish color with a hood, like a cape.
Uh-huh. Did you ever see their faces?
Yeah, sort of. I doodled a couple drawings of them.
Uh-huh. I didn't
post them, yeah.
We're going to get to some of your drawings here in just a minute. Okay, these military guys that you saw, did you see any rank or insignia on the uniforms?
I don't know enough about military to recognize any of that.
Okay, well, I mean, you would have seen some...
I saw pins.
Okay, okay.
On the jacket and on the hat. There's.
Did
I
you
remember the emblem on the hat. I know there was one.
And did you see...
I'm kind of upset. I didn't notice a lot of details.
Did you ever see any of the military people salute one another?
No, huh?
Well, that would indicate probably they were all of pretty equal rank. Okay, not necessarily, but it could indicate that. All right, I want to get to some of your drawings. Now, folks, the telephone lines are open for the next few minutes, and then we're going to close them. You know, so if you're sitting on your fingers and sweating and saying, oh, I want to call, but, oh, God, I'm so scared, you better get over it because the door is going to close on being able to call. 623-444-5889. All right, now... You drew a picture, and by the way, I have to say, Leah is quite an accomplished artist. But this picture appears, I could be wrong, but appears this is a pencil picture of...
Yes.
It kind of looks like the moon back there behind some trees, but you told me that's not the moon. What is that?
That was that night I was told you about when I got that won the tapestry, and I had gone home. I worked at a gas station. It was about 3 o'clock in the morning, 2-3 o'clock in the morning,
mm-hmm.
And I was followed home by UFOs.
Okay.
And it was the third night in a row that had happened, and this landed. If you see that dark line in front, that was where the road was. The driver went down there. Then there was a road, and then trees, and there was a big field. Behind it was another row of trees in the very background.
Yeah.
And when it followed me home, I got out of the car to go look at it, and I watched it land back there,
mm-hmm.
behind those trees. And then I watched all those little orbs and stuff were going in and out of it. And I sat on my car and watched it for a while, you know, about 30, 40 minutes, I guess, later. My neighbor came home from his job. And he walked up to me, and he looked at that and said, do you see that? And I said, yeah. And he said, oh, good. So, yeah.
What did he think it was?
He knew it. When you're in the drawing, it looks kind of like the moon and stuff, but if you're there, you realize it's not because you can see the field behind it. It's lower than the field and the trees behind it.
Uh-huh.
So you couldn't mistake it. For a moon.
Yeah, so did he think it was a UFO?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we sat there and watched it till it disappeared.
How did it disappear? Did it fly into the air or just kind of evaporate into nothing?
It just zapped out. Just boop.
Huh.
Didn't fly off, which was weird because when it landed, but it didn't take off the same way it landed. It just blooped out.
Okay.
Like a light going out.
Like a light going out. All right, let's go to the telephone. And caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Sheila in Texas.
Hi, Sheila.
Hi, Leanne.
Hi.
My question is, and, well, first of all, let me tell you, you have touched me so deeply with your story. I can't even begin to tell you how much it means to me that you're telling it. My question is, you indicated that your mother treated you differently. I think you used the word resented you. Did she ever even jokingly say something like she thought you weren't her child?
Or there, there was a time that... Okay, hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, she did tell me one time that there was no way. She didn't want kids, and she got kids, and definitely didn't want me. I wasn't planned. And she said they took every precaution that she couldn't get pregnant and didn't think she could get pregnant, and she did anyway.
Okay. Okay. The reason I asked, because my mother jokingly, but there are no coincidences, as we know, told me all my life that she thought I was an alien, that I was so different than anybody she'd ever met, that she was sure I wasn't her child.
Yeah, she said she joked about stuff like that, too. Those I let slide. The one that she told me I wasn't supposed to be, I took a little more serious.
Yeah. I recognize the same treatment that you did.
I'm sorry.
I just wanted to ask if you had ever actually heard someone actually say that. But anyway, I'll let you go.
Well, Sheila, I have a question.
Thank you.
Sheila?
Hmm?
Do you have any memories of ever having encounters with extraterrestrials?
I have memories that indicate that I did. I do not have actual memories of extraterrestrials.
Mm-hmm.
And I have memories that indicate that other people may have caused some of these contacts,
mm-hmm.
the humans. Incidences like one time at college and anyway. Yeah.
Okay.
Lots of strange things all through my life.
Is it hard for you to talk about them?
It is very difficult for me to talk about them.
Mm-hmm. Is it helpful to you to have Leah talking about it?
I beg your pardon?
Is it helpful to you to have Leah talking about her experiences?
Yes, very much so.
Well, good.
Well, thank
Couldn't
you, Sheila.
I have called in if it hadn't been for hearing her, yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good. That's good. That's positive.
I was so hoping for that, really.
Yes. And let me tell you something, Sheila. You're not crazy. You're not crazy. Now, look, both of you, I'm a cop, and I've had lots of training, and I've had lots of dealings with what I'm about to talk about here. Both of you are ladies, and therefore, you have a lot of knowledge about this as well. Okay? It has been the history of planet Earth that women could be treated however the men wanted to treat them, and that was okay. And in some cultures, it's still that way today. But as a culture begins to emerge from that, they go through a phase where, okay, we can admit that it's not right to treat women just however you want to. But you go through this phase where you have that, but they also blame the women when something does happen to them. So they blame the victim. Well, a victim is not to blame. A victim is a victim. And it's not the victim's fault. Okay? Maybe in some cases a victim could have made a wiser decision, like don't walk down this street at this time of night by yourself. But then again, maybe she didn't have a choice. Maybe she had to. And so, but the point is, a victim is never to blame. And this is one of the things that I see with these MyLabs or MILLabs. This is one of the things that I hear and one of the things I see is a lot of ladies so, they know they're not to blame, but they're afraid to talk about it because others will maybe think they're crazy or will think they are to blame for this. It's healthy to talk about it. It's healthy to talk about it.
Kevin, I worked for 30 years in Houston, and it was in some somewhat high-profile jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And I never had anyone that I could talk about about any of this.
Uh-huh.
I mean, besides the fact that they would have thought me I was crazy, I probably would have lost the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if your show has really brought a lot of things out and helped me put a lot of things together.
Well, that's good. I'm and glad to hear that.
Got some people to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
Also, yes, and thank you.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, but you see, that's one of the great things about us being able to do these shows is you get to hear people from all over the country and indeed from all over the world who really are just like you and have had things happen to them that are very similar to you. You're not alone.
Right.
Yeah. Sheila, thanks for the call.
So.
Yeah. Thank you for the call.
Thank you.
All right. Now, that is worth its weight in gold.
Yes, it is to me, too. And I've always felt the way she did, too. Always so alone.
Uh-huh. Well, and it's understandable. I think, you know, Sheila is to be applauded for grabbing up some courage and giving us a call.
Yes, and,
All right, we've got a flash message. We've got a break coming up, so I'm not going to get to the flash message yet. I'm going to wait, and we'll get to it in just a minute on the other side of the break. We're only 25 seconds or so from the break. But, Leah, not only is your story interesting, it's important. You know, it really is important for a whole lot of other women that have been through what you've been through. For all the guys out there, about the best you can say is it's interesting because you and I cannot even imagine what this would be like. You know, we think we can, but we really can't. And so it's very, very important to get this out and on the air. All right, we're going to step away for break. We will be back right after this. Get these buttons pushed right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Boy, it's a good thing I'm not flying an airliner. Push the wrong buttons on those things, and the consequences are dire. My guest this evening is Leah from Tennessee, and we have a flash message here, Leah. This is from Ross in the United Kingdom. Hi, Kevin and Leah. Just thinking out loud, I wonder if the MyLab people knew you were being contacted by E.T., so abducted you to give you unpleasant experiences so that you will come to the conclusion that E.T. is bad and to be avoided. Maybe some part of the whole hostile alien thesis. Anyway, big hugs to Leah. You're a star.
That's sweet. Thank you. I've thought of that plenty of times myself. At least later on when I realized there was more than one group.
Uh-huh. You know, I think that makes some sense as a possibility. Yeah. All right. We're on final approach. We only have a few minutes left, and I want to talk about some more of your art here. Now, you drew a picture I guess I don't know if this is with pencil. If so, it's colored, or if it's watercolors. But this is some of Leah's art, and it shows a coiled snake with its tail in its mouth, and then some spirals going out on both sides of the snake, and it looks like different colored rays of light emanating from the coil of the snake. What is this all about?
Well, I woke up with that in my head, and so I drew it. And it's more of the different realities going on, like the Tree of Life and the cycles, how they're repeated. And each shade of color be like the medicine wheel going through each phase of life, and mm-hmm. then it's recycled to go to the next, and then to the next. And then the ones coming out of the eyes is when you're ready to move on to a higher level.
Oh, yeah, I see that. These yellow coils are not coming out of... It's coming out of the eyes of the serpent.
Yeah, the one with the rays coming out of the eyes. Yeah, that would be going to the higher realms.
Now, I think most people think of snakes as something representing evil. Does it have that connotation to you?
No, not at all. More like the DNA.
Mm-hmm. So, now, the shape of this snake's head makes it look like a viper. So, it looks...
It can be that, can it?
Yeah. It looks like it could be a dangerous snake. But, to you, it represents the Tree of Life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, in this realm, it is dangerous, isn't it? And then when you can move on, then you got the gold snake that coils down the other way.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, you also, on your Facebook page, you've got a picture from Hubble of a galaxy that looks like a serpent. It looks somewhat similar to what you drew. What do you think that's all about?
That's what it reminded me of, that drawing.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, well, if you look out a lot of those Hubble pictures, you got to admit, like, some of them look like an eye. There's been one that looked like a fetus, a baby in the uterus. And then you have the other ones that look like shells. I mean, there's all kinds of signs out there all over. It's got to be saying something. And that sure looks like it represents a lot more than just the galaxy.
Yeah, it does. Well, you know, it's pretty interesting that what you said, that these things are out there. They must be signs of something. I think even religious people would have to say, and I'm not, but I think religious people would have to say, yes, those are signs. And even in their book, you know, the Bible, in Genesis, it says that those stars out there were put there for signs. So, if they're there for signs, what are they signs of, Leah?
Well, you look at the timing of when it was found and when it was published, and look what we're going through now. It's just like the snake, we're going through a cycle,
mm-hmm.
which is fixing to move on to another cycle.
Mm-hmm. Does that frighten you?
No, I'm looking forward to it.
I think, you know, I think you can imagine, I talk to a lot of people every day. And, you know, one of the things that I'm beginning to hear is something similar to what you said in answer to that question. I said, does it frighten you? And you said, no, I'm looking forward to it. A lot of people are looking at this current paradigm and saying, you know what? I've had enough of this blessing. I've just had enough. It's time to move forward.
Well, I've always figured, you know, if there was a hell, this has to be it.
Well, you know, I understand what you're saying. I think things could be a lot worse than they are.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't never tempt it, because it'll show you.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but, you know, you seem to have come through quite an ordeal, pretty much intact.
You know, through the years, it wasn't without a lot of hardships in between.
Mm-hmm.
I lived with my son for almost 10 years after basically total meltdown.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I needed, a time to just get out of the rat race and reconnect with nature and find myself again, remember who I am. And that's the blessing. And it's once I found out who I was, I realized I like me.
So you're at peace with yourself. Yeah, you're at peace with yourself now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I've never really been as happy since I was little.
Well, that's good. That's outstanding. I think I would have to concur with Ross where he says, you're a star.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, it takes a lot of courage, but it also just takes getting to a point where you say to yourself, it's the right time and this is the right thing to do, to talk about this and to tell the story. It does take courage, but you know something, most of the courage is not about telling the story. It's about getting on the radio. That's what requires some of the courage. But telling the story, I think it's just you've come to a point where in yourself you said it's the right time and you know it's the right thing for me to do. I'm going to tell it.
Yeah, I never allowed really myself to talk about it really before, and I'm with Sheila. It's scary to talk about. And I understand her hardship in it because even not on the radio, trying to tell somebody anything, even just a small bit of it, my hands shake,
mm-hmm.
you know, my body still trembles,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then get on the radio, yeah, it's even scarier.
Well, I have to tell you, you've done a superb job. You really have.
Thank you.
And, you know, I just commend you. I think you've just done a superb job. I appreciate you coming on and being one of our real people.
Well, you make it a lot easier, and I'm looking forward to having other people on, too, because just like you, I still enjoy it in the way I learn more all the time.
Absolutely. All right. If you will, just stay on the telephone with me for a moment and as I bring the Starship in for a landing. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a phenomenal 2 hours. You've heard things here tonight that some of you really connect with, and some of you, well, you're having a hard time even putting your mind around it. But you know something? Leah is not alone. Sheila is not alone. Haya is not alone. You are not alone. There are loads of people around this planet who have been subjected to this. Somebody, somewhere, someday, has got to pay. My friends call me Steel Eye. My enemies do too. You can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.